Hi everyone, it's Fahan, and you're listening to the Nisa Invest Tea Talk Podcast. Hope everybody's feeling good, ready to start your Friday. Alhamdulillah, it's Jummah today, and we're here to recreate in podcast form what happened last year at my local mosque sister circle, where a few of us got together and I was able to run a session on all things halal personal finance, whether it had to do with budgeting, halal investing, pensions, we covered all of it. And at the end of the session, I asked my sisters to leave me with what further questions they had so I could cover it with you in podcast form. So thanks so much for joining me. Let's get started. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the Nisa Invest Tea Talk Podcast. The question this week that we're tackling asks, how do I invest so that I can see the benefits now? So the focus of this episode is on a phenomenon called present bias, which is where as humans we have a tendency to think about the costs that we face in the present more so or with greater weight than any future benefits that we might receive. And this is an example of what are one of many cognitive biases, which is the way in which as individuals, when it comes to decision making, more often than not, we can fall back on mental shortcuts or just general habits, etc. And when I saw this question, I was really eager to tackle it because when it comes to personal finance, I feel like it's definitely very acutely felt, because what is it that we're talking about? We're talking about investing in the present, putting money aside today for a potential reward that will be many decades into the future. And as a result, it doesn't intuitively come across as the decision that will make us feel good about it and feel the benefits, the way the question puts it. And personally, over the years, I've completely accepted my fallibility as a human being when it comes to making such decisions, because I think that's probably step number one, to understand that these cognitive biases are very difficult to completely ignore. However, what makes me most excited about this episode is that we'll be able to talk through what are called commitment devices. So these are practical strategies that we can implement to make sure that we are making what's called future-focused decisions, those actions in the present that are more in line with the rewards that we hope to receive in the future, so that we can personally feel like we're always making progress to what really matters, even though that might not seem like what feels great in the present. So in terms of how do we tackle this question, I'll just spend some more talking about how is it that present bias presents itself within personal finance, and then go through three examples of commitment devices that we can use to making investing for the long term, dare I say, feel good. So more on present bias. So present bias is one of many cognitive biases that exist within behavioral economics. And this one in particular is one that can easily be applied to other fields too. But the most simple example that people use when talking about present bias is if someone were to ask someone the question, would you rather £100 today or £100 a year from now? Because we're talking about £100, everybody would say, well, I would rather have it today. There's a cost inherent that we naturally know to delaying it a year. In fact, if someone were to say that you had to wait a year, you would automatically see the opportunity cost in doing so, and you'd demand more money. And so knowing that and being aware of this means that when we're talking about personal finance in particular, the psychology of money is incredibly crucial to bear in mind. And so the word that I kind of don't want to skirt around for this episode is the idea of discounting. Discounting is when you almost mentally decide to give less value to something compared to something else. So when it comes to decision making about investing for the future, often, unless we are aware of it, we might fall prey of what's called hyperbolic discounting, which, as you can tell, doesn't really sound good. Hyperbolic discounting is when we look at something that we're supposed to be doing, such as saving for a pension, and realizing that, for example, it's so many decades away, that we discount the value of that because of the fact that it's so far into the future. And so I have some research here. It was not until 1968 that the actual term present bias was used. And this was done by Edmund Phelps and Robert Pollock. Their model was called a hyperbolic discounting model, described exactly this, the tendency that many people have to discount larger future rewards in favor of smaller and more immediate ones. And so the study that they designed was showing the neurological responses within the brain where participants were asked to make decisions for other people. The research team found that there was a much stronger activation in the reward-related areas of the brain when participants were asked to make decisions that would lead to an immediate reward. Conversely, if the reward would not be experienced for some time, so there was a delay to it, the name for that is, of course, delayed gratification, there was far less activation within the reward centers of the brain. And similar patterns were also observed in the emotion centers of the brain. So what does that mean for us? I feel like it's almost about recognizing that there are two versions of ourselves. There is the version of us today, and then there's the version that we have to make decisions for, which is our future self. And so knowing that we have a tendency to hyperbolically discount the benefits that might accrue to our future selves, how is it that we can make decisions in the present where we're less likely to do that? And so for the remainder of this episode, I wanted to go through practical strategies that we can use to make sure that we're able to manage our present bias. So the first strategy I have is more about how is it that we can bear in mind our future selves more often when we're making decisions in the present. And there is another term called cognitive dissonance that human beings feel, where the decisions that we're making are somehow at odds with the person we want to be. And I feel that in the present, when someone experiences cognitive dissonance, it can be like super unpleasant. And knowing that, what we would want as human beings is having a continuous self-image of ourselves, I feel that we can use that to our advantage. So when I personally, I don't know, investing for the long term or making a decision about your career where you are kind of, you might feel temporary disadvantages for longer term rewards, or when, for instance, you're trying to make healthier decisions, reminding ourselves of our values. So whether it's, I would like to briskly walk up the stairs when I'm 50, or I would like to have a fulfilling career, or I would like to retire when I'm still able to be around my grandchildren in the future. Reminding ourselves of our long-term goals helps us avoid an experience of cognitive dissonance, because we will not want to feel that way, and so we will make positive decisions. If not, whilst you might be succumbing to present bias by, I don't know, choosing not to, let's say, add an extra percent to your pension, for example, reminding yourself that actually my long-term goal is to have a stable retirement, you will then immediately start to feel a little bit of cognitive dissonance. You start to almost feel like you're a bit at odds with your long-term goals, and it might be the thing that persuades you to act differently. Another way of thinking about this is, for example, if I open a fresh bank account. I set up a current account. I open a second bank account. I have a sinking fund. I have an emergency fund. I open a separate investment account where I know that I'll have access to a halal index fund and other asset classes that I'm able to invest in. Setting up this system, it kind of reflects back to me another goal that I might have for myself, which is to be this sort of person who has a routine about their finances and is able to make sure that it's working towards my long-term goals and my values. And knowing that I have that, it will make you act in a different way. I might sound flippant when I say this, but quite literally, the mind switch that happens when you start to use your sinking fund for its purpose, it almost stops me from using my main debit card for an extraordinary purchase. Instead, I go through the motions of transferring money from my sinking fund into my main bank account and then transferring it back to my spending card so that I can spend it that way. But because I tell myself I'm someone who works with a system. So if I don't work with the system, I'll internally start to feel like I'm kind of at odds with my values. This one, the field that it kind of relates to is this field called choice architecture, where you're kind of manually designing the way that you're making these decisions so that they make you act in a certain way. So setting yourself up with a great system is a practical way for you to act in a way that's in accordance to your long-term goals and values. Or the very first bit where I was talking about reminding ourselves of our long-term goals, almost doing so frequently allows us to act in a way that's aligned to us all the time, knowing that as human beings, that's what we crave, a continuous and consistent self-image of ourselves. But practically, the way that might look like is also writing these goals down. On payday, that's the thing that I remind myself. I remind myself of what my long-term goals are, and that helps us avoid the experience of the cognitive dissonance that would happen if we start to act differently, because we're fully aware of the image and the goals that we have designed for ourselves. So that's strategy number one, if you will. How is it that we can use cognitive dissonance to our advantage? The second strategy is called adding pre-commitments to your decision-making process. And by far, this is my absolute favorite one. And it's often viewed as an effective way to encourage and achieve positive change. So in the world of personal finance, one very famous study was entitled Save More Tomorrow, where you kind of make decisions for yourself in the present, but they're not stuff that you will suffer from today. You're making that decision for yourself into the future. So that's why I like to budget over 6 months period. I tell myself actually over the next 6 months, this is what my budget will look like. So let's say I get to month 3 and I'd already planned for a certain percentage of my budget to go towards a particular goal. I don't necessarily feel the pain of having done so in that moment. I feel like it's a lot more distant in my mind. The idea that we're going to be saving, but we're not saving money that we would otherwise be spending today. We're saving money that we're going to be earning tomorrow. So we're kind of making a decision about our future selves into the future instead of bringing the present us into the mix. Choosing to commit to a particular savings rate into the future means that you will never have to convince yourself to put a particular pound amount into your account when you're looking at it and you could otherwise be spending it on something else. You've already decided what to do with it, and you're kind of even further removed from the actual amounts. You're just thinking about the percentage savings rate that you are trying to follow. In terms of how it relates to the question, whilst you might not be feeling the benefits, you're certainly not feeling the cost. You're not feeling the pain of something by making such a decision. So yes, pre-commitments, love them. Definitely recommend. The last one, which is kind of related, it's the idea of adding any kind of friction towards making a decision that might lead you to feeling some level of cognitive dissonance relative to the future self that you aspire to be. We are human beings. We will try to do our best, but we can, you know, use all the help we can get. And so, yes, I like to say that self-control is completely overrated. I don't even give myself the chance to have to justify something over self-control. I just try to employ a level of hassle and a level of friction that I almost have to do the right decision. I can't be bothered to give in to making the wrong one or one that is not aligned to my future goals. So a very simple example of this when it comes to personal finances, the use of standing orders, they can be very effective, especially when you're building up an emergency fund or putting money aside for your sinking fund. The sinking fund is an excellent example. I think that's probably the most often used amount of friction that I've employed. So the idea that part of your budget that you're putting aside towards your personal spending, you actually set it aside in a separate account called a sinking fund. And what you're saying there is that is the amount of money that every month I contribute to. And that is, in my mind, already spent. It's things that can go towards things like holidays, gifts, that sort of stuff. And so it's quite simple. If it's not covered by that, it means I can't afford it. I can't be bothered to try to find that money from another place because it's not assigned to it. So that example of the sinking fund can be equally applied to the way that you put money aside for investing and almost making it so that it would be a hassle not to do it because you've set your system up. You might already have a standing order in place. You don't want to have to bother thinking how you might do things differently. You can use that commitment device to your advantage in that way. So yes, those were sort of three examples of different ways in which we can manage dealing with present bias. I would end with the very last one, which is to take it easy and being kind to yourself when it comes to things like behavioral economics and all these cognitive biases that are out there. I think probably the biggest thing is to be aware of them and think of ways in which you can plan ahead. Think of ways in which you can remind yourself of your long-term goals in order to avoid having to make any short-term decision-making and really revel in the future benefits that can come, inshallah, from making more future-focused decisions. Thank you so much for listening. This has been the Nisa Invest Tea Talk podcast. I will see you next year. Bye for now.